Log Talk Radio.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the Terror Chat Radio Network.
In your face.
We're online.
24-7.
24-7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
D-O-C-R. The voice of the Canadian Rockets. Tonight's host, the purveyor of political pontifications.
Welcome to VOCR, Spy Gazette Live. Riding shotgun tonight is, of course, Hugh Mack. We'll be talking to Hugh in just a few moments. And tonight, we continue to scan the news, make comments, discuss. And if you, our listener, are so inclined, we shall take your call for debate, discussion, or dispute.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
We'll give you 1 minute to settle in, and then we'll be back with tonight's session and, of course, Hugh Mack.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece. We are VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com.
Do you think that you are targeted based upon your political beliefs, your religious beliefs, or just because you chose to apply?
Our beliefs, our views.
Of all the objectives we seek, first and foremost, is the establishment of lasting world peace. We know only too well that war comes not when the forces of freedom are strong. It is when they are weak that tyrants are tempted.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knight, and co-host Hugh Mack.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, madam and messieurs, boys and girls, mes enfants. Glad you could tune in with us tonight. We are broadcasting from a secured bunker in the thawing tundra of the Canadian Rockies. It is Tuesday, June the 3rd, 2014. 2,000 hours in Los Angeles, 2,100 hours here in Calgary, 2,300 hours in New York, and 0,500 in London, England. Special welcome to our new listeners in Lethbridge and Medicine Hat who have made contact, as well as our regular listeners, of course, around the areas and around the world. And to all of our listeners around the world who choose to listen live and through archive, I'm amazed, 124 nations have listened and downloaded to date. We'll keep you advised when that number changes. Happy second birthday. Happy June the 2nd birthday wishes for a very special young lady out there. Well, it's a typical spring evening. It's nice and cool after a very nice warm day. Hit about, 22 degrees today, Hugh?
Yeah, I heard 23, but it was gorgeous. It was comfortable.
So what's that for our American friends? That's mid-70s? Yeah, mid-70s.
Yeah.
So how is everything, Hugh? Everything running well for you this week?
Seems to be so far, yep.
I love it when that happens.
So
far so good. A little busy, but, we're getting over it. I see we do have a caller holding. We will put them into queue right away here. Last week, you know, we discussed the marijuana issue and the pros and cons. And even though the email feedback was heavy, I have to tell you that it just nobody wants to go on record. You know, nobody wants to go on record.
I'm curious as to why that is. I understand that an awful lot of people wouldn't want to talk about it because right now it's illegal, and who knows what wires are being tapped and what consequences would await anybody that really puts forth honest discussion about it. But I mean, that's the only way you're going to tear down the walls and find out what's really going on, what the issues are really surrounding this. And, you know, it's nice that people put their 2 cents worth in, but you got to put yourself on the line for something once in a while. And I mean, geez, this is, as I said last week, this addresses so many issues, not just the legalization of marijuana, but so many basic rights, you know. And I'm a little disappointed.
Wave of email I got. I'm convinced we're onto something. Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed that those who responded privately so far and don't choose to weigh in publicly on their opinion. I'm hoping that turns around. I'm hoping we get a guest on the show that is prepared to discuss
this, the laws in this country, in this province, and for that matter in Western society, you know, have created a whole society I don't want to say cowards, but, you know, come on. I mean, if you've got an opinion on this, geez, get off the fence and get it out there, because that's the only way anything will change is if you get in the discussion. You know, to sit back and privately snipe with opinions that you don't want to put on the record is, to me, that just almost borders on cowardice.
Yeah, if you check back in the archives, ladies and gentlemen, you'll see that the VOCR has been on the air for well over 5 years with political opinion. All of the archives are up there for the last 3 years, so you have absolutely no problem at all if you want to know how I feel on the subject or how Hugh feels. Just go back in the archives and have a look around and have a snoop around and see
what
you can see.
Or just call in and ask.
Exactly.
I'll tell you.
Exactly. Yeah, and I can attest to the fact that he actually will. You know, Hugh, in Calgary, we continue to nervously watch the Bow and Elbow Rivers. We still have a massive snowpack up in the Rockies, and that's supposed to have thawed by mid-June or so. And Environment Canada, you know, the 50-50 forecasters, they don't anticipate any major flooding issues. Do you believe them? Do you think we've done enough?
They didn't anticipate it until the day before last year, I don't think. So I don't know. No, I don't believe a word they say. But I've been watching the rivers rise for about the last week and a half.
Yep.
I've been noticing it. I see them every day. And they're getting quite high.
I'll tell you.
I can't believe the snowpack has started to melt in any serious way yet. So I think we're going to...
Well, I personally went down to the river today after I read that little article. And I got to tell you, it's flowing fast and it's flowing deep and it's getting worse.
We're getting the rhetoric from the fire department and emergency services to stay off the rivers because they're unpredictable and they're getting high and they're getting fast. And yet, you know, they're saying, no need to worry about floods. I don't know. It sounds to me like they should be at least suggesting that we start thinking about it at this point. From what I've seen of the rivers,
if there is another flood, that'll be the coup de grace for the provincial conservatives. That'll be the coup de grace.
How do you think?
Daniel Smith, because they would have to handle it in such a perfect procedure, because they opted out. They had two options. Of what to do for high river, for instance. They had two options, either river around high river and do a diversion, or double the banks and brick everything, you know, for safety. They chose the cheaper one, and they've done the banks and not looked at the diversion that was suggested. So, you know... Mm-hmm. I see Daniel Smith sharpening her stones. She's already began the readying of the Wild Rose Party for a provincial election she thinks is coming next spring. You know, there's a great deal of upheaval.
Do you see any change at all, though, if the Conservative Party gets punted and the Wild Rose gets in? I mean, the Wild Rose is mostly all old Conservative Guard anyways.
Well, that's true. Do I see a change? Maybe a little bit more energy put into things. Do they have anything different that would work. Not really. As you say,
you know what I see, Colin?
They're a breakoff. They're a breakoff branch of the Progressive Conservatives. So,
well, yeah, but what I want to know, what I want to know really is why they broke off. Did they break off because they could see that 45 years is long enough for any party, and sooner or later people in Alberta are going to smarten up and want another choice in there, so they created a second party to run the same agenda rather than leaving it up to, say, the Liberals? And you know, I mean, like I said, they're mostly the old guard that at least started the party and I'm sure are behind the scenes. I don't really see any change, except you spoke of more energy. Well, yeah, maybe for a while, but if it's the same party, it's going to be the same agenda being shoved down our throat with a little younger energy.
Good point. Good point. Tell you what, Hugh, let's take a quick break, throw in the disclaimer. I see we have one phone lit up, one line lit up that we're going to get to, and we'll come back with the Alberta politicians.
Sounds good.
Information supplied by tonight's guest or host remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the TerraChat Network or its affiliates. If you wish to respond to a statement, we invite you to call the show live at 347-324-3287 or email vocr2012@gmail.com. Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
Look, John's last-minute economic plan does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class, and it happens to be, as Barack says, the three-letter word, jobs. J-O-B-S, jobs.
347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
And we do have a caller on the line, Hugh, but before we get to that caller, I just want to kind of throw this in because I kind of want to set up the scene here for what we're about to discuss. But, you know, this lamestream media of ours has already basically anointed Prentice as the heir apparent. You know, and that bothers me when I see the media starting to push a candidate. Now, I think McIver has got that working man touch, and I'm hoping that would work in his favor. What do you think?
Okay. I would, I suppose, if these were the choices and I thought there was going to be any difference whatsoever, I suppose McIver's credentials would appeal to me a little bit more. He's sat on quite a number of committees that I'm not a big fan of, or at least I'd be very interested in knowing which way he was leaning while on these committees, but the committees themselves just kind of go against my grain. But I don't know. I never liked him. I never liked him as an older guy, and I don't like him. But I don't like any of them, Colin. You know that.
Yeah. Well, you're not exactly pro-government. I get that, and that's why we get along so well, because you and I have some pretty good discussions. We have a caller on the line, 587, Pam. Good evening, Pam. You're on the air. How are you tonight?
Hey, not too bad. How are you guys?
Just excellent.
Very
Thank
good.
You. We're discussing Alberta politics, but if you we do have Ontario politics coming up, but if you have something to say, by all means, you chirp yourself right in. How's that?
Well, Alberta politics, of course, now since that is my home, that would be my passion. My problem with Prentice is that the same people that propped up Princess Redford are the same ones that are backing Prentice, and that would be my biggest problem. I feel actually honestly bad for Rick McIver and Lukasik because I think they're the last ponies in the race, and I feel bad for them. They're wasting their time, resources, and money when Prentice has already been coronated essentially into that spectrum. And the one thing that bothers me the most about Prentice, and I'm so sorry if I'm disgracing actually an honest lawyer out there, but the fact that they did he does have a legal degree. Politician, I think, that's expected a Canadian or any provincial person to bend over has been a lawyer. The ones that have asked us to bend over the least would be economists and those type people. And the fact that he's being backed by the PC party that propped up the princess and that he's a lawyer, I will vote Wild Rose time and time and time again. And because as an Albertan, I feel that is my only option.
Well, that's a good point, Hugh. We were talking about this a couple of weeks ago regarding, Lukasik jumping in there just to dilute the voting pool to make sure that Prentice's numbers stay high. So,
as long as we're talking about Princess, what's her face there that used to be the premier, and she came in. There was Ed Stelmach did it the same way. There was the heir apparent and another legitimate contender, and Ed Stelmach and what's her Princess there. Slipped up the middle and split the vote and took it away. So the heir apparent doesn't really mean anything in Alberta politics.
Good point. So what do you think, Beth?
Very good point.
Do you think that the Wild Rose actually would have a chance to form a new government? And do you think they would be that much different than the Progressive Conservative Party, because Wild Rose basically are the breakaways from the old Conservatives, right?
Well, as being born and raised in Saskatchewan, I was dealt a double whammy, and I had the privilege of living under Grant Devine and Brian Mulroney's rule while growing up in Saskatchewan, and that is definitely a double PC whammy up the rear end. And I do wholeheartedly believe in Brad Wall, and he is a side faction, still conservative, but has separated himself from the PC party. And I believe that he is the one premier in Canada that I think all of us should be following and actually aspiring to have that as our leader in every province and territory in our great land. I believe he is a no-nonsense guy, and of course Grant Devine delivered us, well, aside from Kathleen Wynne and the Liberals in Ontario, but we'll get into that later. Saskatchewan was delivered the most largest political scandal in Canadian history, 13 MLAs in Saskatchewan under Grant Devine's legislation were inducted for fraud. That is disgusting. And that is what we dealt with. So, of course, the entire province turned away from the PC party, and we unfortunately lived under NDP rule and Roy Romanow for many, 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 many years. And, of course, Roy went on to federal politics and is now thankfully gone. However, he is a no-nonsense guy. He is a fiscal conservative. Doesn't overly care about a person's feelings or anything else, but he's going to do what he has to do to make sure his house is right, like we all do in our personal homes. You know, might cut the budget, might cut the kids' allowance, might do this, might do that, might buy knockoff Kraft dinner instead of the actual Kraft dinner at twice the price.
You think he'd do that?
But you're going to do what you got to do. I would love to go into politics, Colin, but you and I have a long history, and you and I both know that Trudeau flipping Canada the bird would be mild in comparison to what I would do.
and also be vastly
can
expensive.
Can you elaborate on that, Pam?
Elaborate on
which? On
which point?
Canada the bird?
Well, Trudeau, back in the 70s and 80s, he flipped Canada the bird on national TV.
But you said that would be minor compared to what you would do. I would be curious to know what go somewhere with that.
Honestly, what I would do, I think it's public sector employees are way overpaid. Their benefits are out of control. Nothing in the public sector compares to the private sector. I think the unions, public sector, are pampered babies that have their diapers put on for them with Vaseline and good old talcum powder every day. I think they are pampered, spoiled, out of touch from reality, and have no idea and don't remember what it was like for their parents before the NDP and unions came and trampled all over our damn country. And don't even get me into Sharia law and all the nonsense that Canada is bowing down to. It is absolutely ridiculous. These are not our fundamentals that our country was built on. It is ridiculous. It's preposterous. Even Europe is turning away from it, from God's sake, because they realize how ridiculous it is. Unions had their purpose in 1927. Well, guess what? We are, 90 years later now? Grow up, do your job, quit your whining. I will not pay your legal bills or $3,000 for your orthodontic bills. I will not bail out Chrysler, GM, or hand forward a line of credit. I will not do any of that. As a taxpayer, it is disgusting. I am not allowed to say to Revenue Canada, I'm sorry, I did a bad job balancing my books this year. I can't pay you taxes. But somehow every government, municipal, provincial, and federal is allowed that pass. But me as a taxpayer that pays all these idiots is not allowed that pass. I find it disgusting and absolutely immoral and irreprehensible.
And it's amazing, Pam, knowing you the way I do, that you could get that all out without breathing. I am so impressed
with
you.
I want to get her going.
I can hold my breath a long time, Colin.
Well,
how do we
don't
want to
get it. We don't want to get her going too much here, Hugh. You know, the lawyers cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I agree with what
you
say.
You know,
saying,
and
I understand
honestly,
with
Hugh,
the,
how we
the
change
usage.
It, I have no idea. Our I think our country has bent over, and you know, you can't even blame provincial politicians for this, because our country as a whole, I feel, has hit the toilet. No, I'm not some radical Tea Party Republican from the States. My country, my beautiful, my love. I'm a third generation Canadian, second generation in one part of the family, immigrated from Germany, oh thank God, between World War I and World War II. Thank you for getting out of there, Grandpa. But it's disgusting. I feel we have gone way too far liberal. We've thrown our beliefs and our morals and our ethics and everything in the ditch. I think it's awful. And honestly, I do blame a lot of immigration and a lot of fanfare around Justin Trudeau. Sorry, I'm going to quote Sun News, Ezra Levant, a.k.a. Shiny Pony. I think he is just an absolute idiot. And this is what our country subscribes to now. This is not the Canada I grew up in. This is ridiculous. I think it's
absolutely
ridiculous.
Right. And I cannot agree with you more. And the sad thing about it is, Pam and Hugh, is that you could replace the word Canada for the United States or England, and the people in
the
those
North
countries
Union.
Are echoing the same way. They're echoing the same way. Is you know
yes,
got
they
the
are.
North American Union.
Yeah, we do. I mean, you know,
Our sovereignty doesn't exist anymore. It's been sold out in the NAFTA deals, and we are not even a sovereign country anymore. There's a court that decides international issues on only on security and prosperity. But when you think about it, everything boils down to security or prosperity. It's either financial or it's military, and we sold out on every count. And so, I mean, these morons like you point out, Trudeau or even Harper. Harper is probably a bigger sellout or sold out first, so that's why I think Harper's still going to be in it after the next election. but it's all the same money pulling the strings. Doesn't matter who you're putting in power.
Okay, may I ask you a question, the Muppets and the puppeteers and everything else, all the options we have, Elizabeth May, and I'm so sorry, but she reminds me of that saggy dog, hound dog from the cartoons in the 60s, and I have Thomas Mulcair, that fuzz-faced, lying piece of blah blah that I can't say on the phone, and we have the Muppet supporting like genocide and essentially gender genocide, and he is being such an idiot right now. Whether or not you like Harper and his fiscal policies, how could you possibly vote for any other option that we as Canadians are given?
Well, I couldn't and I won't. So there you go. I won't vote because option I like. There's no option I like, so I'm not voting.
Tell
I'm
you
not going to validate it.
We're heading up to the top of the hour. By the way, we are on a 90-minute show tonight, so we do have 1 hour left. Hang in there. We'll be right back right after this super, super, super duper important message.
This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on BlogTalkRadio.com in association with Spy Gazette and the TerraJab Radio Network.
But I'm going to ask you some questions, and if you can't answer these questions, then I'll leave you to draw whatever conclusion you want to draw about whether or not the media has provided sufficient oversight. Can you tell me why Chris Stevens was in Benghazi the night that he was killed? Do you know? Does it bother you whether or not you know why Chris Stevens was in Benghazi? Do you know why we were the last flag flying in Benghazi after the British had left and the Red Cross had been bombed? Do you know why requests for additional security were denied? Do you know why an ambassador asking for more security days and weeks before he was murdered and those requests went unheeded? Do you know the answer to why those requests went unheeded? Do you know why no assets were deployed during the siege? And I've heard the explanation, which defies logic, frankly, that we couldn't have gotten there in time, but you know they didn't know when it was going to end. So how can you possibly cite that as an excuse? Do you know whether the president called any of our allies and said, can you help? We have men under attack. Can you answer that? Do any of you know why Susan Rice was picked? The Secretary of State did not go. She says she doesn't like Sunday talk shows. That's the only media venue she does not like, if that's true. Why was Susan Rice on the 5 Sunday talk show? Do you know the origin of this mythology that it was spawned as a spontaneous reaction to a video? Do you know where that started? Do you know how we got from no evidence of that to that being the official position of the administration? In conclusion, Congress is supposed to provide oversight. The voters are supposed to provide oversight. And you are supposed to provide oversight. That's why you have special liberties, and that's why you have special protections. I am not surprised that the President of the United States called this a phony scam. I'm not surprised that Secretary Clinton asked, what difference does it make? I'm not even surprised that Jay Carney said Benghazi happened a long time ago. I'm just surprised at how many people bought it.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And we are back with co-host Hugh Mack, and right on the line tonight with us, we have a young lady by the name of Pam, who is full of all of her opinions. Hey, Pam? Full of all opinions?
Hey! Oh, I have a lot of opinions.
and that's it. It's always good to have those opinions, and we like you to, you know, let us know what they are, because it's important that we discuss things. Hugh, before I head over into Ontario politics... So we better get the defibrillator ready for Pam. But before I head over to Ontario politics, in the infinite wisdom of the province, you know, they decided not to divert the river around High River. So they rebuilt and bolstered the current riverbanks, right? I mean, You had mentioned last week, I believe it was, or the week before, regarding Tervida, who had got the exclusive contract, blah, 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 blah. Well, they billed the province $328,000, apparently, to demolish 9 flood-hit homes in southern Alberta at an average cost of $36,500 per house. The work was done October, November. But talking to a couple of demolition contractors, they figure it's twice the price it should have been. And they're a little upset that the contract wasn't tendered because they figured that they could have done it for cheaper. Now, I don't know if there's been any more billing since the $328,000, but since the contractor for the concrete for the west side of the LRT decided to drop paper on the city and sue them for millions today, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Are you there, Hugh? No, it looks like I lost Hugh. Pam, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like you fell off the planet. I'll leave his microphone open. He'll come back. When he's ready, he'll come back. But so what's your thoughts on the flood in High River, Pam? Did you think we were effective? Did we do a good job? Were we professional and financially feasible, do you think?
Well, honestly, to answer that question true from my heart, I have to go back to, like, you know, when High River was built, whenever that was, 1913. I don't know specifically. I'm just pulling a date out of my ass. Why you would build a town on a floodplain is beyond me. So right there, I think 80, 90, 100 years ago, the province was on the hook, as it was, because they built an entire city on a floodplain against every engineering and ecological standpoint. They decided to do it anyway because you get a great view of the Rocky Mountains from High River. The flood of June 2013, of course, unfortunately, it was the recovery mission was led by Princess Redford. And I don't believe one iota it was handled properly. While insurance companies aren't going to pay for acts of God and things like that, the province is on the hook for that. So for 90 years, we should have known that we were going to have to bail out High River. And then, of course, they built these little subdivision, sweet, cutesy little communities, but still somehow charged these people like $1,200 to $1,500 a month rent. They weren't allowed ovens, toaster ovens, or could cook for their families, yet we as taxpayers were paying for all of this. Also, of course, we were also paying for the license, registration, and insurance on all of these trailers to be moved across the province to be borne down into High River. And at capacity, full capacity, I believe they only hit about 65, 70%. So we're very ill-conceived, over budget, overmanaged, of course, because, you know, everyone taking care of that project, I'm sure, was on the sunshine list for that year. It is honestly disgusting. And the fact that it took as long as it did, knowing it would happen for 90 years, because it is on a floodplain, Alberta should be ashamed of themselves.
I'm with you in 90% of what you said there, kiddo. Hugh, did you make it back online?
I did, yes. I don't know
there
what happened,
you
but I'm back now.
You just did the Skype wonder, as I call it. You just wandered
off.
You know.
Yeah, it didn't seem to be the Skype connection.
Oh.
That or
okay.
A bathroom break. No.
No.
Well, we try and we are you trying to give me a hint, Pam, that you need a bathroom break? Because we can most certainly throw one. Okay. You know, I mean, we're here to serve. What can I say? But yeah, so what do you think, Hugh, with this High River fiasco? Now, I know you have some musings on the way the contract was awarded, but and if we could look back and know that was coming, say next summer. if we knew this year we were going to get that next year, wouldn't the diversion tunnel be the answer in the long run? So why wouldn't we do it in the short run?
Well, first of all, Colin, how could we not know? It's on a floodplain. And when you have an intense winter, especially like we've had the last couple, you've got to expect that there's going to be higher than average runoff off the mountains going right down that river. Now, I wanted to ask you, Colin, because you and I had talked about this before, and it was something that hadn't heard very much about, but there was an investigation going on as to the improprieties upstream with the dams and when they were opened and all of that. There was going to be an investigation because there was either negligence, criminal activity, or faulty equipment. But
right.
it was mentioned, and I haven't heard a thing about it. Now that was probably 7 or 8 months ago. I heard that. Have you heard anything about that? What's gone on with that?
I heard that there was going to be an investigation because there was some accusations that there was some shenanigans with the amount of water that was released. Or held back or whatever. But I also heard that a couple of weeks ago from a lady in Calgary here was huffing and puffing that the dams were already too full upstream,
mm-hmm.
And that she was concerned.
I had heard mention of that too, and I'd see, but it just never, you know. This is one of the problems I have with mainstream media: is they'll bring a story out like this because it's hot news and it'll bring in big ratings, but yet it's not news tomorrow. And why are they not following up on things like this? I haven't heard anything more about it.
Yeah, that is exactly why throwing in the plug. That is exactly why underground stories on the Spy Gazette blog is exactly what that is about, is it takes stories that have found their way to page 15 that should have been page 1, and they're either burying the story or they're trying to get the story out without telling you.
We need to get these spies on that. So for you spies that are listening, post your findings on Spy Gazette so that we can find out what's been going on with that, because we don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and that doesn't even include the RCMP gun confiscation fiasco.
Good point. and that is still under investigation, isn't it? Even though they got a clean bill of health.
Barely, and thank you, Hugh, for mentioning mainstream media, which I'm sorry isn't even good enough to wipe my butt with. Mainstream media sucks.
Now,
RCMP,
come on, Pat, say what you feel.
RCMP kicked in the doors of tax-paying Canadians and stole their guns. How this is not headline news every single day until the case is resolved is beyond me. I don't understand. These are law-abiding, gun-holding citizens that have their homes violated and essentially burglarized by the same people we pay their salaries for. It is disgusting. And I wholeheartedly agree that flood mitigation measures are a joke. I think they should have been in place for at least 80 or 90 years. Why we're talking about it today, I have no idea, because it's not a surprise. Even the Indians, all of the Indian nations around Calgary and around Alberta didn't build a town there. But somehow the British white folk found it reasonable to throw a town in there. But to have no flood mitigation measures in a flood zone is absolutely stupidity. Absolute stupidity. And then to use that to kick in the doors and ransack the homes of law-abiding Canadian citizens is disgusting. Disgusting, and even more so that it was done by people that we pay their salaries. That is disgusting.
Okay, so Pam, so what you're saying what you're saying, Pam, is that whereas in Katrina and most of these other natural disasters, the looting went on here as well, but it was done by our officials, not by the people in the streets.
Katrina, sorry, the second you said that, I think my blood pressure raised 20 points because, of course.
No, I wasn't trying to do that.
Of course, Katrina was disgusting. And because Louisiana is a Democratic state and it was a Republican president, they were screwed over. The worst part is that after the town was evacuated in High River, after they closed down the town and citizens were not allowed to return to their homes, that is when the RCMP kicked in their doors and stole their guns.
Yeah, so and they did. So our officials did the looting in this disaster.
You're damn right they did.
We
paid for it. That's what makes it worse, is that somehow me as a taxpayer paid for the crap the RCMP did in High River. And
well, what
concerns
me?
It is awful.
What concerns me?
I wish I could not pay taxes, in all honesty. I wish I could not, because they do not deserve one damn dime for what they did to that town. And
well,
the RCMP should be repealed.
What concerns me is not so much the gun confiscation, but what happens when they do kick down your door and if there's a bag of weed or something worse on your coffee table. Now, they may not do anything in that very second, but they would note it for when things return back to normal. And you could bet your sweet dippy they're going to use that information.
They got
to
look at everybody's personal life. They got to look at everybody's personal life.
High River gun thing, they said they had kicked in the doors to find people and pets that were left behind. The problem with that is that actual citizens had gone illegally to these homes to rescue cats and dogs that the RCMP left behind after leaving muddy footprints on your bed looking for your .22 rifle. They left your cat and dog behind, and it was actual citizens that had gone in to rescue the pets. So as
well,
a taxpayer, you know, and it goes from the damn RCMP grab, Princess Redford, the Wynn government in Ontario, it is rampant in Canada. Essentially, as taxpayers, we are being told to bend over and we are not given Vaseline. That is the bottom line. That's it. That's all. And I don't know which politician is better, but I know, voting conservative, I do not have to pay for some BS social program that I don't agree with. And that is why I was always vote conservative, because they just are that way. I'm not forced to pay for all of this shit. I can't believe it. I really can't believe it. Coast to coast to coast. Don't even get me started in BC with their crack pipe vending machines and pot pizza. Our country is falling apart all over.
Now, before you bait
on this show,
before you bait her any further, Hugh, Pam, it's time to take a break. It's a pee break time. You've got about a minute and 48 seconds to make wherever you're going and get back. Take that break, and we'll be back with you.
Okie dokie.
But resist, we must. We must. They're all jitty about a shutdown. The Tortoise in the Race, then co-author of Hubris, U2 lead singer Bono, Fran Drescher, Sigourney Weaver, suspect Jahar Sanayev, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh. The show Rush Lombard hosts Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Is Mike Muckery yesterday? Antonine Scalia.
Kim Kardashian and the Republican candidate.
Well, Cairo and Benghazi, we rank behind La Vita. First stop, Kazakhstan, to college students in Beijing. He's getting lunch at Chick-fil-A in Iowa. Bain is appropriate. The GOP's tax day giveaway to millionaires. Why was traffic problems email sent? The Environmental Protection Agency and what sequestration has done.
Information supplied by tonight's guest or host remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the TerraChat Network or its affiliates. If you wish to respond to a statement, we invite you to call the show live at 347-324-3287 or email vocr2012@gmail.com. Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian Americans moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent.
Look, John's last minute economic plan does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class, and it happens to be, as Barack says, the three-letter word, jobs. J-O-B-S, jobs.
347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
And thank you, Mr. Al Sharpton and Joe Biden, for those sound bites. They're classics. They'll never grow old. So we have a feisty caller on the line, Hugh. You think we've hit fire earlier tonight? We have 43 minutes left. We still have to get to two segments, but we'll try and get through this next segment. The provincial Ontario government.
Before we go there, Colin.
Yeah.
Before we go there, I think maybe Pam, give her a little extra time here so she can go get herself a coffee and get pumped up a little bit. She seems awful blasé.
Well, all I'm worrying is that her husband has got the AED right next to the desk because he thinks she's popped a cock now. You just hold on here. So June the 12th, elect a new premier or re-elect the current Liberal one. The poll numbers tonight that came in are showing that Kathleen Wynne's Liberals have the support of 37% of the voters. Tim Hudak has 30% of the voters. And Andrea Howarth has 24% of the voters. So, Kathleen Wynne, I can hear your blood pumping, Pam.
How much support did Mike Shiner have?
No, it didn't. They didn't even rate him. They didn't even rate him.
Oh. Nope.
They just did the top
bad.
Three.
Good guy.
Yeah. Yeah, seems like it. But Kathleen Wynne, according to the poll that released tonight, 37% of the voters, Tim Hudak, 30%, and Andrea Haworth, 24%. So my next question to you is, Pam,
mm-hmm.
how can Premier Kathleen Wynne, hit with the federal ad scam scandal where criminal charges were laid, and the police investigating the destruction of records in the Premier's office related to the gas plant fiasco, corruption and mismanagement, provincial pension proposal, which is nuts.
Payroll tax. That's
garbage. Yeah, mm-hmm. And 86% of small business owners are opposed to Wynne's pension plan or changes to the scale. What the heck's going on in Ontario, Pam?
I don't even know, in all honesty. You know, when I saw, it was last week, Paul Martin actually standing beside Kathleen Wynne, propping up her Ontario provincial plan. And when, I'm sorry, Paul Martin was finance minister and all of that good stuff, he said payroll taxes are the death to the economy. And then he stands beside her and props up her pension plan when their government is on record for mismanaging between $4 to $5 billion, with a B, billion dollars. Why on earth would I invest in that? I would rather give a check to Bernie Madoff.
And he could use it about now, too, by the sounds of it. So,
yeah, pretty much.
But, yeah.
I'll
well,
bet you
know,
he don't need it.
No. Hudak, you know, I listened to him tonight on the debate, and I got to say, he's a smooth candidate, and very, very well. His timing is excellent. But for him to make that statement about the 100,000 civil servants to be fired if he took over was kind of a stupid thing to say.
Not even fired. I'm sorry, Colin. You watch your mouth. It is not fired. It is through attrition and everything else, and even Smokey What's-His-Pickle. I'm sorry, I can't even be bothered to know his last name. The head of the Ontario Public Service Union has said 60,000 jobs can easily be cut. So when the union boss of the Ontario Public Sectors Union says 60 of Kim Hudak's 100,000 firings, which according to Kathleen Wynne is the teachers and the firefighters, which it's not, if the actual union boss supports 60,000 people being without a job, Kim Hudak only needs to support him getting rid of 40,000. That's
yeah,
it.
Good point.
That's all.
Good point.
Bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's always the case where the enemy always make it sound worse, firing 100,000 civil servants. And that's kind of why I threw that trigger at you, because it's important that people realize that he is not talking about 100,000 people losing their jobs tomorrow morning. He's talking about attrition, where when a person retires, they just don't rehire. And
they
thin down, in other words. They take fiscal responsibility. Do you think Hudak can do this million jobs plan that he's spouting? Do you think it's possible?
I do think it's possible. His math was flawed, and I do have to say, you know, it's been all over the news that Tim's math was flawed, blah, 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 you know. But one thing I can give for Tim is that he came out and he said, you know what, let me check. And later that same day, he said, you know what, we did do that. So he was actually accountable for his bad math. Kathleen Wynne isn't accountable for shit. Nothing. She is not accountable for anything. She just keeps saying she's sorry, she's sorry, she's sorry, she's sorry. Well, I'm sorry. A beaten dog at some point in time is going to say enough. And
yeah,
that is exactly what Ontarians are beaten dogs. Tim Hudak at least had the cojones to say, yes, we screwed up on the math, but through tax cuts, through government bureaucracy, and getting rid of people on the sunshine list, which is 100,000 plus, and I dare say a lot of these bureaucrats are earning at least $200,000 to $300,000 plus benefits, plus perks, plus retirements, which is going to push it over $500,000 per employee. I absolutely believe, while he may not hit the million, and I know all the pundits are going to be sitting there and counting every job, I do believe wholeheartedly through his plan and cuts and waste and the bondules and the lies and corruption and everything else, he will create more jobs than Kathleen Wynne and Andrea Horvath and the New Freedom Party and the none of the above in Ontario could possibly even come up with.
So why?
Hudak,
why
as far
think,
as I'm concerned, is Ontario's only option for survival.
Right.
And we,
so
as a part of Canada, and Ontario is now a have-not. So the rest of Canada does have a say in Ontario's politics because now we're supporting their bills. He is
so
the only option.
So why do you think then? Why do you think that the Ontario Provincial Police Association have taken out ads against Hudak? Is it because of the union migration? Is it because that he wants to reduce the gravy train?
It's heavily because of union influence in Ontario that they've gone and attacked Tim Hudak. And also Tim Hudak came out and flatly said there will be a wage freeze for 2 years for all public sector employees in Ontario. That includes firefighters, police, bureaucrats, middle management, MPPs, everyone. Will take a 2-year wage freeze. Considering the OPP just got a 8.5 wage increase in January 2014, when the rest of us certainly have not had any kind of raise comparable to that, they have nothing to complain about. And how dare they make the suggestion, and sorry, not the OPP, the OPP Association. How dare they make the assumption and put that out there that you will not be protected if you vote anything other than Liberal. It is disgusting. It is illegal. Every member of that damn police association should be thrown in jail. And I have said, and I am on record, throughout internet saying the RCMP should investigate, but I have no confidence in the RCMP either because I live in Alberta. So what does a person do? They're corrupt. They're awful. It is on everyone's dollar considering Ontario is a have-not province. It is disgusting, absolutely disgusting that they fear people into this.
I think it's unfortunate, but you and I talk about this on a regular basis. Mainstream media, they mold the information that most people want to see. And that there's one story that's floating out there that would normally get a prime minister fired. And it's the one about the $370 million Mars bailout, you know?
Mars bailout. And actually, it's $317 and counting. I've seen numbers as high as $477 already, Colin.
Really?
$477 million to bail out a failing U.S. company in prime downtown Toronto
location. Alexandria Real Estate.
You know, if no one understands Toronto, they need to know this is a few blocks away from the Hockey Hall of Fame, a few blocks away from Yonge and Dundas Square where all the parties and all that good stuff are. This is where the Liberals chose to spend almost $500,000 or $500 million and counting because we all know the final tab never really comes in for the Liberals, as we know with the gas plant scandals.
Apparently, Alexandria Real Estate had a personal guarantee from the provincial government. That's how come the government ended up in there. And Alexandria Real Estate exercised on the option because they had difficulty finding tenants for the tower and were in danger of defaulting on a loan guaranteed by Ontario taxpayers. And that's
yes.
a filing today.
The guaranteed loan was for actually under $200 million.
Right.
So had the
guaranteed?
Building actually defaulted on it, the province of Ontario would have come ahead of the game to just let them fall. But by propping it up, it's costing 2 to 3 times as much.
That was a good question.
Why was the loan
guaranteed
in the first place?
Oh, good question, Hugh. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea. It was for innovation and to invest in the people in Ontario and to build on it. Blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm sorry, as
money.
A Canadian, we already bailed out GM and Chrysler. I sure as crap don't want to bail out any other American company. If you think you can do somewhere else, I don't care if the Ontario is the manufacturing capital of Canada. They can do other things. Pack it up, get it out. I'm tired of paying for it. And considering Ontario is now have not and Alberta is a have, my opinion matters, and I don't want to pay for that crap.
Your
didn't
opinion
want to pay
definitely
for Ford, GM, Chrysler, yeah. None of it.
Your opinion
can you
definitely
say that again,
matter,
Pam? So. Yeah, say that again, Pam. I like the way you said it. Say it one more time.
Which part?
My opinion matters.
My opinion does matter. Unfortunately,
does.
You know, off my meager check, I lose about $500 every 2 weeks in taxes. And to be perfectly honest, I have no idea what the hell I'm paying for.
Colin?
Yeah.
Did that not remind you of that movie Network where he got up and said, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore?
Not going to take it anymore. Yeah.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
I know what movie you're talking about. Damn straight.
And you know, that's the worst thing about the Ontario election and how the province stands right now. Because, of course, we're in Alberta, you know, land of the free, God's country, you know, where absolutely everything is at our grasp if we're willing to step up to the plate and take it. And, of course, you know, let's face it, Alberta, it is, whether you like it or not.
Oh, yeah. Listen to my story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food. And up through the ground come a bubbling cream. Oil, that is, black gold.
Black gold.
Texas tea.
Texas tea.
Good old Texas tea.
I'm going to warn you both right now. Either one of you call it tar sands, I will lose my mind.
Why? Why? Because I'm going to.
Because they are not tar sands. That is liberal propaganda done by the Democrats in the U.S., the OPEC guys in Saudi Arabia, and shiny pony, a.k.a. Justin Trudeau's hacks in Canada. They are not tar sands. They are oil sands. And I am born
What's
and raised in Saskatchewan and now live in Alberta, and they are oil sands. Saskatchewan actually is on record for having just as much, if not more, oil than Alberta, which is shocking.
But wasn't it Syncrude, one of the original participants in the project that called it the tar sands originally?
Always environmentalists that have called it tar sands.
I thought the project was called Tar Sands by Syncrude.
I'll Google it right now, Hugh. And if I am wrong, I will I will serve myself a plate.
So let me ask you this, Pam. Then, are you pro oil?
I am very much pro oil. Of course, I am. I have plastic, polyester. I have a vehicle. I have everything all over my house. Of course, I am.
As a consumer, you can't help but have all that stuff because that's all they sell now. But what I'm asking you is, are you pro oil? Are you for the oil industry controlling the government, for example? Are you for the oil industry owning the province of Alberta's government for the last 45 years? Does that all seem right to you?
Tricky question, Hugh, you tricky little dicky, you. Okay.
It's not tricky. It's
yeah, it is. I am pro-oil because that is what we have. That is what we know. I do believe the green energy products are a complete farce and way out of control. Like, we have to – that'll be another day, Hugh, you and I, mm-hmm. another day. As far as pro-oil, I do believe that Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Canada do produce the most ethical oil in the world. Absolutely,
oh,
I do.
Hate that
I
phrase.
Don't care if our oil is a little muddier or a little thicker. I'm sorry. I don't care. It's what we have. It's what we know. No, it's not a renewable resource. No, it will not be there for our grandchildren. I do think other measures are necessary. However, the wind farms and all this green energy crap, climate change and all of that, I do believe, I'm sorry, is a farce created by, oh, what's his pickle? I can't even be bothered to remember his name. The one running around with the damn movie. Colin, I know you can help me with that. He shook hands with Kathleen Wynne. He's been all over the place.
Michael Moore. Yeah.
They, actually, I believe Michael Moore than Al Gore. I really do.
I see where both sides are coming from. As far as being pro-oil is concerned, you and I had this discussion some time back, is, you know, it's the poison of the day. And hope to God we can find something to totally do away with the use of oil. But while it is a worldwide requirement, just as salt is, or just as sugar is, and everything else, the commodity price and the delivery, you know, has to be safe. So, you know, as silly as it sounds, this kind of ties into this kind of twisty conversation at the end here we're having regarding oil and water. Because what would you do? Imagine we got away from oil and we found a product that we didn't need to mine or we didn't need to suck out of the ground. And then we had all of these pipelines. Well, you know, sooner or later, countries run out of water. We see it in the Middle East. We see it in Asia. There are areas of the Middle East that haven't seen a drop of moisture in over 100 years. And they used to be tropical rainforests. So there are countries out there right now that are threatening each other because of water sources. Is it the Anwar Dam or is it the Haile Selassie Dam? I forget now. One of the dams right now. One country is threatening to detonate the dam so that they can get their water source back, and the other country is threatening to go to war over it. And this is water, but it's the most basic element of survival is water, and it's becoming a scarce commodity.
How many barrels of water are they using to pump out the oil of the ground in the tar sands? Oh, pardon me, the oil sands project. How much water? They're using way more water than they're getting oil out of the ground just to get the oil out of the ground.
Thing is, Hugh, my dad worked in a mine, not an oil mine. I won't name the commodity because I do want to respect my dad's privacy. But in those cases, and because of carbon capture, in it actually like completely thought of in Saskatchewan and they've brought into Alberta, it is recycled water. It is not fresh water that is used. It is recycled water.
What does recycled mean? Does it mean,
the
that
same
put,
water
it
you
put,
use to flush your poop
you three,
is used to flush out the oil?
Does it mean that you put 300 gallons of water down into that oil well and you get 300 gallons of water back out when it's done? No, you're putting water down there that isn't coming back out.
But at the same time, when you flush your toilet, that is completely wasted water. And that is the water they are using.
Well, it depends on how you look at it.
It is not fresh water. It is recycled water they are using to pump the commodities out of the ground. And it's not just oil. That is almost every natural resource coast to coast in Canada. It is recycled water. You are using fresh water
So what you're
your
saying
poop.
Is that they wouldn't.
You are
what
using
you're saying
flesh.
Is that they wouldn't waste our natural resources. Is that what you're saying?
They do not use fresh water. No, they do not. And as
right.
a person
no,
that flushes poop, that is fresh water.
That's four times
Whereas
you said the word poop.
Whereas the oil sands and carbon capture and all of that, it is recycled water. So they are actually using your poop water to flush the oil
right.
out of the ground. And
well, here you
potash
go. This,
and every
if,
other commodity. So what
if,
is
if
the problem? You just flushed
that,
it down the drain. So what is the problem?
Problem is, you have to breathe.
So what does that contaminated water, that recycled water, then do to the ground once it's down there?
They filter it, oxidize it, and it is returned to the earth.
Okay.
It is.
Well,
right.
You know more than I do regarding that, because I had no idea what kind of water they used or where it came from. And I'm sure there's going to be many people out there. I'm sure some Greenpeace people are already throwing shoes at the
computer
screen.
Oh, I'm sure. James Cameron will be back in Fort Mac, I'm sure.
You know, we can...
But when Fort Mac flushes their toilets, that is the water that is used to pump the oil out of the ground, and then they filter it and put it back into the ecosystem. No different than them filtering your poop water to put it back into the ecosystem. They are just using a middle sidestep to flush some oil out of the ground. That's it.
Well, that's about...
That's all.
That's eight times you've explained the method of flushing poop. So I think we basically got that concept, but... You know, here we go. Let's just kick you up a notch, get the AED ready. From sources close to the decision-makers tonight, it does appear as though the Canadian Northern Gateway Pipeline is about to get the nod. The federal government are probably, they are estimating in the financial services that Northern Gateway is going to get the federal nod. Now, of course, that means that they have to get through all of the environmentalists and the lawsuits and all of that other good stuff that they've
Aboriginals and la,
yeah.
La, la.
But it does appear that the Northern Gateway pipeline is a go, which means that sooner or later, Canada will be servicing the Asian market, something that China has been begging for. That's why they dropped $50 billion in. They were considering
it. Just because they signed a deal with Russia for the same thing that BC and the environmentalists in Canada said, holy crap, maybe we should back off a bit and get a paycheck.
Yeah. Well, Kitimat will certainly do better out of this. It's a depressed area up where the pipeline is going, so there's going to be lots of work there. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, in the immediate future it'll be a great thing. Because it'll get a lot of British Columbians back to work. But this decision apparently comes down mid-June, and no doubt it'll be part of the federal election when that goes off in 2015 or whenever the heck they decide to throw that one. So, Hugh, what do you think? Northern Pipeline, a good thing? A $6.5 billion project or a bad thing?
From an economic standpoint, Colin, I don't really – it probably is a good thing from an economic standpoint. But, look, the bottom line is the oil industry owns this province. They have apparently bought Saskatchewan, too. They've propped up the government in Alberta for 45 years, and they've already set up another – I'm sure – they've got the Wild Rose Party in tow if the time comes. Sorry, I have no sympathy for anybody in the oil industry. Don't make any bones about that. The oil industry is a bunch of cutthroat thieves, and I got no use for them. So if this, from some economic standpoint, is good for Alberta, so be it. But that doesn't give it my support.
Ontario's got a much broader
industry base. They've got a manufacturing base. Alberta has nothing but oil, and you can see that every 5 or 6 years when they drop the bottom out of the economy, the banks repossess all the houses and all the goodies that everybody went and bought because they thought they were getting rich on the big bucks here in the oil sands. And then another 5 or 10 years later, they'll create another boom, start circulating the money again. They've had a death grip on this province for over 40 years, and so whether or not giving them this pipeline deal is a good or not, I for my money, no. But you know, from a purely economic standpoint, I suppose it is.
You know,
what about
Hugh,
boom,
we have to agree to a point.
What about when the boom starts again and everybody thinks this is good, but the average worker like you and me, Colin, our wages don't go up. Our cost of living goes up. Our wages don't go up. A booming economy in Alberta is only for people that have a vested interest in the oil business, or maybe some people that can get that can be entrepreneurial for a moment. By a moment, I mean maybe 4 or 5 years, build something, sell it, and move on. Because it does no good for the average person. The oil booms. So, you know, like I said, no, I have to vote no on whether that the pipeline is a good idea. I have to vote no, and you know, I know that's not popular in Alberta, but that's the way I see it.
Well, popular or not, as long as it's an open opinion and an honest opinion, Hugh, whether it's right or wrong, there is no right or wrong. It's what is the best move forward, given the tools that we have to work with. And the tools that we have to work with in Alberta, as you clearly pointed out, take oil out of Alberta, and we're a have-not province.
Yes.
And
the people that will choose to stay here can afford to live here.
Yeah, exactly. And it happened when Chrétien created the energy program, the NEP.
Oh.
You know,
Lordy.
when that happened, Alberta folded up. I mean, it closed its doors. You know, the tumbleweeds were rolling across Highway 1. You know, I mean, it was pretty sad. I mean, you know, I was here. I saw it happen. I saw everything falling apart right after that, and it was heartbreaking. And then, of course, here we are in the second or third boom of the oil business since 1947. But what is even more concerning is that the way Europe has ended up with these veins of pipelines all controlled by Russia. And whenever Europe does something that Russia doesn't like, they just turn down the flow. And then suddenly Europe is all in favor of the Russians and they turn it back on again. I mean, this is how bad it's got with oil supply and gas supply. And it's going that way with the water. As I said, in the Middle East and Africa, you know, it's anything is used as a weapon. If it has a value, it will be used against you. And I see water becoming a very valuable resource that we're not even paying attention to. But why pay attention to it? We can't even get past the one crisis that is the only thing that basically is fulfilling Canada's expansion around the world, and that's oil. Without oil,
why does Canada have to expand around the world? Why is that, Colin? Why do we have to go and sell out all our resources to everybody around the world?
Because
our U.S. is our biggest commodity, and Canada has bent over for decades, I dare say nearly a century, to provide hydro and electricity and all natural resources to the U.S. in favor of supporting them because they are our most natural ally. So, of course, we have to lay in bed with them whether we like it or not. I'm sorry, I equate
that to a hooker doing
her job and just getting a paycheck, like it or not. That's what I think it is. Canada is
a hooker to
the U.S.
It's got nothing to do with that kind of idealism, though, Pam. They're our biggest natural partner now because of NAFTA. We're in the North American Free Trade Agreement. We're essentially the same country now. Our military was systematically dismantled and handed over to the Americans back in the 50s and 60s. It's got nothing to do with the idealism that we like Americans and their lifestyle is close to ours. It's got nothing to do with that. It's all a matter of law now. It's all a matter of control, and the oil companies are a big part of that control. And for me, I'm just not fine with selling all the natural resources from under the ground in Canada and handing it over around the world. When it runs out, we won't have any. Do you think everybody's going to rush to give Canada their resources back? Well,
No, I don't for one second, because unfortunately Canada's lied down time and time and time again. And when it comes to natural resources, Canada has screwed over its own country in the sense of Newfoundland and Churchill Falls, part one, part two, where Newfoundland is forced to sell their hydro to Quebec, which in turn at a discount rate, which in turn sells it to the northeastern seaboard in the U.S. at a surplus rate. So Quebec benefits from them upping the prices, but poor little old Newfoundland is still sucking on tailpipes and getting high off of gas emissions. Unfortunately, all Canada has is our natural resources. I think every leader pretty much since, like, oh my God, since 1867 has failed this country miserably. When we run out of water, no one is coming to our aid. When we run out of Band-Aids, jackknives, parachutes, helicopters for our defense, no one is coming to our aid. Maybe Britain, because they are our essential motherland. That's what Canadian democracy was based on, and we still are part of the Confederation there. But it is disgusting. It absolutely is disgusting. And unfortunately, the biggest thing Alberta and Canada has is our natural resources. It is oil. So you as a consumer, I think, should be a little more responsible and want to buy your gas when you put it in your SUV, your car, your station wagon, your motorbike, your moped, whatever else. I think you should be a little more responsible in your buying power and not buy it from Venezuela, the U.S., OPEC regions. Eastern Canada has their crap shipped in from Norway and other parts of Europe, so thank God they're a little more ethical. But the majority of our oil comes from unethical, disgusting countries. We don't agree with their morals, but we still bear down and bend over for the oil and natural resources. It is disgusting. I absolutely agree.
I need a definition from you, Pam. What is the definition of ethical oil?
I believe ethical oil relies on the country it is supplied from. So if that country has been accused of, suspicious of, especially, and I'm sorry, I will say it loud and proud on the internet, Middle Eastern countries where their human rights and everything else, their track record is in the toilet. We should not be negotiating with those countries one iota. And
well,
with all of this crap, it should be shut down. Ethical oil comes from an ethical country, and I believe Canada is an ethical country, and how dare any of the 278 countries in the world, Canada is the one country people should be buying oil from.
Pam, you really need to take a look at our own history on human rights. We are not a standard of human rights that I would want anybody to live up to. You should take a look at that. It's for another
well,
time,
I think we are.
Oh, you and me, Hugh, we'll go.
I think we're better than
the Middle East.
I think so too, and I think we're doing a better job as far as oil is concerned. But you and I have discussed this in the past that, you know, there's very little of what we pull out of the ground in the way of oil is actually refined anywhere near Canada. And that, I think that's half the problem is that, you know, the closest we can get is over to the East Coast. There's a massive refinery over there, but we would need
maybe
to use pipeline to do it, you know. But that's
line
the problem.
Line 9.
We don't refine anything here. Everything goes out as crude at a low reduced price to the Americas. And some of the American fuel, by the time it gets down to Florida, they used to, not as much now, but they used to ship it down to Venezuela for refining and bring it back to the States I mean, it's just lunacy. We are, you know, we talk about being energy.
It is absolute lunacy. We have the refineries. We have all of the resources. We have the equipment in place. Why Canada is not refining their own oil is ridiculous. The protesters to line nine, and I'll actually listen to someone who lives around there, because the protesters they show on the news don't actually live there. That was an active line going one way. The Canadian government just simply wants to reverse it. How is that a problem? It was fine going one way. That's like saying your toilet is fine clockwise, but the second it flushes counterclockwise, I have an issue. That is ridiculous.
I would have an issue because I'd be teleported to Australia for that to happen. So that would,
well,
you know,
down under, baby.
But you know, the one thing that concerns me, we've only got a couple of minutes left here. But the one thing that concerns me is the Canadian ambassador to the United States, Gary Doer. He made a statement recently, which I think actually might have a little bit of gravitas. To be honest with you, it says Canada must prepare for diplomatic water wars with the U.S. as demand on both sides of the border grows for the vital but ultimately limited resource. He predicted that the water diplomacy would make a debate about pipelines look silly.
Well, probably true. It's a more important issue.
Well,
I'm just trying
to... You
can't
drink oil. You can't drink oil, you know?
I'm just simply trying to figure out how I can articulate this and watch my mouth at the same time. I honestly, as a proud Canadian,
do it in 3 minutes or less.
I think everything needs to be shut off. I really do.
Really?
I don't care if the U.S. has fresh drinking water. I simply don't care. That is your problem, not mine. I am a Canadian. As a Canadian, I have fresh water. I have electricity through green measures and through our dirty oil. I simply don't care. And maybe I should, but I don't.
So as a Canadian, as Canadians, we should let people, other people around the world die of dysentery and thirst and starvation?
How is it Canada's job to be the world's babysitter and caregiver?
Did
you sign a contract that said, yep, I will take care of the world, I will pay for whatever is necessary, I will protest all over the world, whatever is necessary to make sure everyone has fresh water, oil, or a green equivalent? How you were not born with that responsibility.
I wasn't born with the right to cut somebody else off either.
I feel like I'm trying to be a political wrangler here because we're heading into the end of the night. Pam, been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for your opinions and your debate prowess. We appreciate it. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you, Pam.
And, of course, thank you, Hugh. I always appreciate another point of view. I do appreciate it very much.
Me too. That's what makes it all happen.
Exactly. And it would be a boring night if we agreed with each other.
Wouldn't it, Thursday? We'd be married.
Bye, love.
Good night. And Pam certainly has a very opinionated opinion of where she believes the world needs to go or not go. Whether you agree with her or not, whether you want to throw things at the computer or not, you know, it's entirely up to you. But as Hugh has said at the top of the hour, in the middle of the hour, and we'll say it again, vocr2012@gmail.com. If you got something to say, you got an opinion you want to express, just send us an email. And maybe next week when we come on at 9 p.m. Mountain Time on Tuesday, and our next discussion, you'll choose to pick up the phone, call in, and say your opinion, as Pam did tonight, and as I appreciate it. I think that was a pretty lively debate, you.
Yes, it was. It was fun. And like you said, I just want to reiterate, what's going to make it all happen is if more people get into the discussion and voice their opinions and say what's on their mind and quit listening to the politicians and regurgitating everything politicians say, because quite frankly, they don't care about you and I.
No, they don't have much desire to even be efficient with you or not. I mean, they really don't. So, Hugh, it's an absolute pleasure. We'll talk again on our secret recording broadcast Saturday morning at 11 a.m. that nobody knows about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to that one. Yep.
Take care, sir. Good night. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's it. That's all. VOCR Radio, Spy Gazette, another edition in the can. And we will talk to you again at a time in choosing. Good night.
Got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, and we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio. This has been a TerraCast Network production.